sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
In John's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus says, "If you remain in my word, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." But in the times in which we live, it's actually the central part of that passage that most people actually question. It's not about remaining in Jesus' word. It's not really about being set free by that word. It's about our ability to know the truth. In the times in which we live, more and more people doubt that it's actually possible for us to know truth, to know the nature of reality. And yet that is precisely what Jesus says to us. So how do we know that we know the truth? How do we know that we actually know reality? That's what we're going to be talking about today on Ignition. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Dr. Chris Bergwald, and we want to set your faith ablaze so that you might live the adventure that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Before we get into today's topic, we want you to know that, as always, we love listener feedback. So if you've got questions about today's episode, or if you have ideas for future episodes, please contact us. The easiest way to do so is by email, and the address is ignition@sfcatholic.org. Again, ignition@sfcatholic.org. This is one of our occasional solo episodes. It's just me in the studio. There's nobody across the chair. But who is me, to use really bad grammar? Me is, just to double down on the bad grammar, I am Dr. Chris Bergwald. I'm the Director of Discipleship Formation with the Diocese of Sioux Falls. Been in that role since 2002. More importantly, I am husband to Jermaine for almost 25 years, and with her father to, well, am I father with Jermaine? I mean, she's mother. We have five kids. Elena, Carl, Noel, Alexi, and Mercedes. Great kids. Blessings from the Lord. But enough about me. The laughter that maybe you heard is the voice of Casey Bassett, who's controlling the dials and the switches and the vacuum tubes behind the scenes. I'm doing my best. All right. Good job. Thanks, Casey. I'm really excited about this particular solo episode. This is something that I'm particularly passionate about. And it actually, as you're listening to this after Easter, it was during Lent, I came across just a little quote from one of my favorite modern, contemporaries, not still alive, but modern Catholics, G.K. Chesterton. G.K. Chesterton is a man whose writing is well known to many, but certainly there are many more who don't know about his writing. But he was a figure for a long time and never really got. Back in the day when I had my reversion in my early 20s, reading Chesterton, there was one of his novels that I really enjoyed, but the rest of me didn't really get him. It's only been the last, I don't know, half dozen or so years, maybe even less than that, that I've really grown in an affinity for G.K. Chesterton and his style and what he's about. And one of his points, one of his central points gets to what we're talking about today, that is our ability to know the truth. So in 1935, this is just two sentences. 1935, so that's 89? You're not math? No help with math from Casey. Vacuum tubes, fine. Math, not so much. I think 89 years ago, somebody can do the math for me. Chesterton wrote this. "They will tell you the modern world rebels against religion. It rebels much more against reason." Again, "They will tell you the modern world rebels against religion. It rebels much more against reason." So what Chesterton said in 1935 is that, contrary to popular opinion, it's the modern world, modern culture, modernity, rebels not so much against religion as against reason. And at first, we might wait, what? But isn't there this whole war, this battle between faith and science, between religion and reason? That's real. That is the case, that there are some people who would say that there's opposition between, we'll specify here, between Catholicism and science, between the Catholic religion and human reason. But that's actually not the primary battle, if you will, that's going on in the battle of ideas in our day today, let alone Chesterton. So this is, to me, and Chesterton's not alone, as we'll see, but he's certainly one of those prophetic voices pointing out what was already present in the 1930s and before, as we'll see in a minute, but has really become obvious. One, to me, prophets have the ability to recognize the truth. I say oftentimes, prophets aren't so much future tellers as they are truth tellers. They speak the truth, but they can also see where the trends in a culture or a society are going and what the consequences of that are going to be. So Chesterton already recognized by the 30s, and again, as we'll see in a minute, even earlier, that certain modern Western culture, whatever its opposition to religion, there was even greater opposition to reason. And I think for many of us that seems counterintuitive. Science and so on, and that's all true. But there is a real way, as we'll see. There's a real way in which, especially today, let alone during Chesterton's lifetime, we are doubting or even denying the ability of human reason, the ability of the human intellect to know the truth. And that's what reason is ultimately about. Reason is about our ability to know not just things, yes, things, but the truth of things. So I think that's where Chesterton, again, with others, is such a prophetic voice. Another passage from Chesterton quoted in a very, I'm going to warn you right now. So the book that I'm where this excerpt from Chesterton comes from is by another, a contemporary philosopher named D.C. Schindler. His dad was David Lewis Schindler. So there's D.L. Schindler and his son D.C. Schindler. It's D.C. Schindler who wrote a book called Love and the Postmodern Predicament, Rediscovering the Real in Beauty, Goodness, and Truth. For those of you who are maybe more intellectually, philosophically inclined, this is a great book, or at least what I've read of it so far. It's a great book. I haven't finished it yet, but there's a lot here to chew on. Just to give you a heads up, if you decide to tackle it, pretty philosophical in terms of language and concepts, but really, really good meat. But he uses Chesterton. Schindler uses Chesterton to make a similar point to what Chesterton himself says. So this is Schindler, and then I'll make clear, he's going to refer to a quote from Chesterton right off the bat. At the end of his, this is David C. Schindler. At the end of his collection of essays entitled Heretics, which was published in 1905, 30 years before the quote that we started with. At the end of his collection of essays entitled Heretics, G.K. Chesterton prophesies that the most common sense truths will turn into creeds requiring the fidelity and courage of martyrs to proclaim in the face of the great march of mental destruction that is modernity. Okay, that sentence was a mouthful. This is almost four lines long in this book. Philosophers, can't they just use periods and commas, Casey? So again, what's Chesterton going to do in his book, Heretics? He's going to prophesy that the most common sense truths will turn into creeds that require the fidelity and courage of martyrs to proclaim in the face of the great march of mental destruction that is modernity. So things that maybe we would take, that in Chesterton's day would be taken for granted. This is over 100 years ago now. This is over 100 years ago when Chesterton wrote. I know. I'm sorry. Chesterton's saying the thing that we now in 1905 take for granted are going to require, again, the fidelity and courage of martyrs to proclaim. There's going to be creeds. It's not just statements of fact. We believe this is true. This is true. And it's going to require the courage and faithfulness of martyrs to do that. Schindler goes on. In the concluding paragraph, his tone, Chesterton's tone, climbs to an almost fevered pitch. so that one might worry he is overstating his case, even as one admires his genius. So now we get Chesterton. Fires will be kindled to testify that two and two make four. Swords will be drawn to prove that leaves are green in summer. We shall be left defending not only the incredible virtues and sanities of human life, but something more incredible still, this huge, impossible universe which stares us in the face. We shall fight for visible prodigies as if they were invisible. We shall look on the impossible grass and the skies with a strange courage. We shall be of those who have seen and yet have believed. So I'm going to read that once more because is your list like, wait, what's he saying? What he's saying is that what's going to happen is, again, it's going to require courage and strength to testify that two and two make four, that will draw swords, so to speak, to prove that leaves are green in the summer. So again, the quote, fires will be kindled to testify that two and two make four. Swords will be drawn to prove that leaves are green in summer. We shall be left defending not only the incredible virtues and sanities of human life, but something more incredible still, this huge, impossible universe which stares us in the face. So we're going to be defending the reality of the universe that stares us in the face, to use Chesterton's words here. We're going to be defending the reality of the universe that we can see, that we can touch, that we can smell, that we can hear, that we can taste. There's going to come a time, Chesterton is saying, before too long, when we're going to have to defend this idea against others. And again, at that time, like, what are you talking about, Gilbert? The GK, Gilbert Keith Chesterton. We shall fight for visible prodigies as if they were invisible. So we're going to have to fight for things. Like in the past, people have stood up for things that could not be sensed, could not be seen. Chesterton's saying, we're getting to a point we're going to have to fight to defend things that we can all see. We shall look on the impossible grass and the skies with a strange courage. We shall be of those who have seen and yet have believed. So there's a play on what Jesus said at the end of John's gospel. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And here Chesterton says, we're getting to the point we're gonna praise. We shall be of those who have seen and yet have believed. Which, what are you talking about? So now back to Schindler. Blessed are those who believe, even though they have seen with their very own eyes. A century ago, such a declaration would no doubt have appeared as a comical exaggeration, cleverly employed to make a point. Today, however, we read this passage with the dawning suspicion that Chesterton may have been entirely serious. For a host of reasons we will be exploring, we have been learning to deny the obvious as a matter of course. It is not only that we have been accustomed to deny in public, for the camera as it were, things that we know to be true, which is evident enough, but we have begun not even to recognize that we know them as true. And then he goes on from there. So Schindler pulls this quote from Chesterton, which was compiled in a series of essays. That compilation of essays was published in 1905. So I don't even know when that actual essay that concludes the collection of essays, again, it's titled Heretics, when he actually wrote that essay. But again, Chesterton, 1905, well over 100 years ago, it was saying that we're going to get to the point where we're going to have to defend the idea that leaves are green in the summer and that two and two is four. And my friends, many people, Schindler and many, many others would say that's precisely where we've gotten to in our own time. We are living in a time when, again, not just for the sake of being polite and polite company, we don't want to say anything that might be offensive to somebody. And the idea that the truth is offensive is an offensive idea. But even ourselves, well, actually, it's not just we're not just acting that way in public, but in fact, we've come as a culture to question, if not outright deny, our ability to know the truth, to know the nature of things, to know that 2 + 2 = 4. And yet we have the Catholic Church saying, yes, we can, to quote somebody. we won't get into that. I don't think it's way too far. Yes, we can know the truth. Yes, the human mind, while not perfect, while not infallible, because we are flawed, we are broken, but we still have a fundamental capacity to know the truth, to know the nature of things, to know reality as it is. So this is so ironic because, again, to allude to Chesterton's first quote from 1935, it wasn't that long ago when, oh, the Catholic Church is superstitious and it's against reason. And you still hear people like the new atheists from, about 20 years ago now, would say that sort of thing, that religion in general, certainly Christians and certainly Catholics, are anti-reason, anti-science, blah, 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 blah. That's never been the case. I'm not here speaking for all religions, even for all Christians, but speaking for the Catholic Church, and we've talked about this numerous times on Ignition, the Catholic Church has always exalted the power of human reason to know. The Catholic Church has always exalted our ability not just to know things about God that he's revealed to us, but to know the nature of reality around us. Many people have pointed out that it was out of the Catholic Church and the culture that was saturated by the Catholic vision of reality, it was out of that culture that modern science grew. And even prior to modern science, ancient Greek philosophy, which was taken up by the church, has always said, no, we can know things. That's one of another point that Schindler makes in his book. Aristotle said, the ancient Greek philosopher who lived 5-ish centuries before Jesus, didn't really, as far as we know anything about the Jewish religion. Aristotle said that all men by nature desire to know. We want to know things, and we have an ability to know things, to know the way things are, to know the truth. So the church has always said that. And in a couple centuries ago, the Enlightenment era, people started to say the church was superstitious and anti-reason and anti-science. Again, that's not true. But the irony here that I want to point out is that where you had sort of the faddish intellectual currents of the day a couple centuries ago were saying, no, we need to put down religion in order to exalt reason. So they separated, or they attempted to separate for the sake of culture, and public discourse, faith and reason, saying that faith is holding reason back. The irony is that now that faith and reason have been separated in terms of public discourse, both have collapsed. Reason has collapsed. And so today you have relativism, and even more a skepticism, that we're able to know the nature of things, that we're able to know objective truth. And I'm not even talking here about morality. I mean, moral relativism has been around for decades now. The idea that when it comes to right or what's wrong, oh no, you've got your opinion, I've got mine. We're beyond that. I mean, this, and we're seeing this in things like the transgender movement and so on, where just to talk about the nature of reality, objective reality, which can be sensed, which can be measured, if you will, by modern science and so on, we actually don't have the ability to know things. What we do, rather than discovering the meaning of things as they are, there is no inherent meaning in things. There is no truth. We make our truth and we impose meaning on sort of the raw material that is meaningless reality. The greater irony then is it is the Catholic Church that's saying, again, yes, no, that's wrong. There is meaning in reality, and it is possible for the human intellect to by contemplating things and by contemplating all of reality, we can know things about things. We can know things about reality. We can know things about ultimate reality. It was, a number of years ago. Again, I've already learned. I'm not going to ask Casey to do the math. 1998, again, over 20 years, St. John Paul II wrote in an encyclical letter, so it's sort of a high level of teaching, called, the Latin title is Fides et Ratio. Fides et Ratio, Latin for faith and reason. And the subtitle of this in English, and the topic, therefore, of this particular small book, little booklet, is on the relationship between faith and reason. And this is how St. John Paul II, who was a philosopher by training and a professor of philosophy in Poland early on, this is how he begins Fides et Ratio, faith and reason. Faith and reason are like two wings on which the human spirit rises to the contemplation of truth. And God has placed in the human heart a desire to know the truth, in a word, to know himself, ultimately, so that by knowing and loving God, men and women may also come to the fullness of truth about themselves. Once again, faith and reason are like two wings on which the human spirit rises to the contemplation of truth. And God has placed in the human heart a desire to know the truth, in a word, to know himself, so that by knowing and loving God, men and women may also come to the fullness of truth about themselves. It's that first part that I want to emphasize. The human spirit is here, the idea of a bird. I think of a dove, especially, the context of the Holy Spirit and so on. But the human spirit has two wings by which it rises to the contemplation of the truth. And those wings are faith and reason. So John Paul II is saying we have the ability to contemplate, to know, to gaze upon the truth. And what is truth? It is reality itself. By faith and by reason together. Think of a bird that doesn't have a wing. It's not going to go very high. It can try to flap really hard and maybe go somewhere. Or if it's got a weakened wing, it can go a little high. But if you have a bird that has two completely healthy wings, it soars in the sky. And in this metaphor, the bird, human reason, the human spirit rather, soaring higher and higher by the power of the wings of faith and reason together, has the ability to know, to contemplate, to gaze upon the truth, which is ultimately God himself. Okay, so a little bit later on, this is paragraphs 5 and 6, and we don't have time to, this is, in this little, the format that I have, those of you who are watching can see the size of this book. It's about 130 pages long, but it's a smallish book. So something that, again, it's got some philosophical language, but if you were to take your time with it, it'd be a really fruitful read. So this is in Article 5, not page 5, Article 5 in Fides et Ratio. John Paul II goes on. On her part, the church cannot but set great value upon reason's drive to attain goals which render people's lives ever more worthy. So in other words, the church is all about, you know, basically, yeah, go human reason, do your thing, specifically when it makes our lives more worthy. She sees in philosophy, so philosophy in this context may be understood as sort of the ordered application of human reason. So if reason is a tool, philosophy is all about using that tool well. So if you think of a hammer, and if you were to contrast my ability to drive a nail with my dad's ability to drive a nail, because dad has loved carpentry his whole life, dad wields the tool of a hammer much more effectively than I do. Philosophy is a tool by which we effectively use our ability to know things. I have the ability to drive a nail. I have an arm. I have a hand. I got the wrist, but I don't wield the tool well. Philosophy is the tool by which we wield reason well. She sees in philosophy, he says, the way to come to know fundamental truths about human life, so we can know things about ourselves. At the same time, the church considers philosophy an indispensable help for a deeper understanding of faith and for communicating the truth of the gospel to those who do not yet know it. So this is where they work together. We can use reason to better understand our faith. We can't use our reason to prove every tenet of our faith. There are some things, like the fact that God is triune, that we could never actually literally prove. We know it because God has revealed it. But we can use our reason to deepen our understanding, even of those truths that are beyond our ability to prove. There are other truths, like the fact that God exists, that can be proved by reason. Aristotle did that as a Greek pagan centuries before Jesus, again, knowing nothing at all about the Jewish religion. So even in those cases, we can use human reason to prove things that we also know by faith. And reason can also be used by us to help share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with those around us. So he goes on from there. I just wanted to share just a little bit from Article 5. But again, just as we're drawing to a close, the thing I want to emphasize from this is the Catholic Church says to our culture today, put aside your skepticism. Put aside your relativism. Yes, again, and skepticism and relativism are borne out. The truth in them is that, again, our reason is weakened because of original sin. Our reason is somewhat broken, somewhat flawed. But the church says it still retains its fundamental capacity to know things, to know the meaning of things, to know the nature of reality. And therefore, so when we contemplate things, we're receiving their richness. We're receiving their beauty. We're receiving their goodness, their truth. We're receiving their meaning. So the human intellect, human reason, has the ability to know the truth of things. And it is by knowing the truth of things that, again, in Jesus' words, we will be set free. In our culture, we're constructing basically fantasies. But fantasies don't set us free. They enslave us. They are webs of our own making that ensnare us. But in the truth, which we can know, we will be set free. And folks, that will wrap up this episode of Ignition. Again, you can email us, ignition@sfcatholic.org, with any questions about this episode or ideas for future ones. Until next time, may God bless you.